are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
This is it, my friends, the God Geeks podcast. You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. That's right. You've tuned in to the show where theology meets geeky culture, and geeky culture has met its match in theology. And let me just say, I like that Wookiee. Now, James, what are we going to talk about in this episode?
Oh, man. We're going to talk about prayer.
All right.
And we're going to talk about Stephen King.
All right.
And a little bit of Rogue One.
Are we going to talk about praying to Stephen King about Rogue One?
I would hope not.
Okay.
I don't think you pray to him.
Right.
Weird things would happen.
We're going to talk about praying to the King.
The King.
Not Stephen King. But yeah, we're going to, in Jedi Mind Tricks, we're going to get into the theology of prayer and the mystery of it, and what does it mean, and how can we communicate with God? How does he talk to us?
And
how do we know all these things? And then right there in This Week in Geek, we get into Rogue One. We get into Episode 8 rumors. We get into Stephen King,
Dark Tower stuff coming out.
And
doesn't
novels
get geekier than this.
It doesn't, man. So you're right here. You're in the place. You're in the cantina with the two geeks.
Yeah.
And that means,
yeah, we got something coming up in the Dallas area.
Yeah, something big.
You can hang with
those
geeks.
I almost started into Jedi Mind Tricks, but I want to pause for a second and say that October 29th, the Christ Hold Fast City event in the DFW Metroplex, the Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas, of the great state of Texas, is taking place at Soul Thirst Church. And you can go on to ChristHoldFast.org and you can register for this this conference. We've got all kinds of great speakers coming in town.
Full day.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
Some weird guy's going to do the music.
Yeah, yeah. There's a total weirdo with complete, like, covered in tattoos and a big long ZZ Top beard is going to be doing the music, and some other weirdos that are going to talk a lot about Jesus are going to be there, and it's going to be a great day. So get on there and register for that. A shout out to our friends from Pirate Christian Media.
We're still on the boat.
They're still for some reason airing our episodes, and this is a good one, my friends.
Yeah.
So here it is. It's time for Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
This is the segment of the show where we dig into some theological things, some theological thought.
Mm-hmm.
We call it Jedi Mind Tricks because we're geeks. And we're not the Jedi, you know.
No.
But we are the mind trick.
Yeah.
So we do like to obviously talk theology and issues that are on our hearts and questions that we get as pastor and as vicar and teacher out in the world.
Yep.
I'm a pastor, as you know, and James is a vicar and a teacher. And so we get these kinds of questions all the time. I actually got some great questions this week, but we're not even going to get to them this week. Maybe we'll get to them next week. You have a subject that you feel like would be helpful to talk about and fascinating to talk about. So let's roll right into it.
I've been getting a lot of questions from youth and even adults sometimes too about prayer. Specifically, why do we pray? How do we pray? And then I think the problematic question that I'm not sure what direction it goes sometimes and if it's helpful is, how do we know what God is saying back to us if we pray? Like, are we supposed to be silent and wait for an answer and sit there until we get it? Or is there a different way to hear what God has to say. And I think there's probably a pretty clear answer on that. But so maybe we can start with, okay, why do we pray?
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me say, to me, let me start out with, I'm not really good at prayer.
Okay. Yeah, me neither, actually.
I mean, and what I mean is, I'm not as disciplined as I'd like to be about being intentional about praying. But so I'm not like a prayer warrior guy who's just like praying all the time. I try to be better about praying about specific things. There's a lot of mystery about prayer, but let me say this about it. We can't know anything about prayer. We can't know anything, or we can't unlock or discern the mystery of prayer if we do not know Christ.
Agreed. Yeah.
When we know Christ...
Yeah.
And when Christ is the center of our theology, prayer will make so much more sense and perhaps be less mysterious to us.
Okay.
If we're not praying in Christ, we're praying in vain.
Yeah.
We're actually probably praying to a false god of some sort if we're not praying in Christ. So I think it's important, and I realize that is... sort of a dressed up version of the kids' message answer to everything. The answer is Jesus. But the answer
but it
is
really
Jesus.
Is. It really is with
If you don't even need to give a second thought to prayer unless you know Christ. See?
Right.
To know Christ is to know the intercessor.
He is the intercessor.
Yeah.
Without him, there's no intercession.
Right. The only way we know the Father...
Yeah.
Is in Christ.
Right.
The only way we have the Spirit is in Christ.
Right.
The only way we can pray is in the Spirit.
So to talk about prayer devoid of Christ and to write about that or speak about that or discuss prayer without Christ at the center would be...
It's a pointless...
Pointless endeavor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not only that, it's probably more dangerous than anything because what are you praying to?
Yeah.
If not yourself, then there's no doubt about it. Prayer is an act of war, and it's not something that we're capable of carrying out.
Right.
If you think about it in terms of war, in terms of the dark forces at work in this world and us being in the midst of those, and you think about warfare, you think about, this is the way I like to think about it and talk about it. If you're in a military group and they say, all right, here's your little team of special forces guys. And they say that you've got to go take that town there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's bad guys everywhere in that town and it's full of bad guys. You got to go attack that place. If you're the special forces, what do you do knowing that this place is, you know, rampant with the enemy? You call in an airstrike.
Yeah.
And then you go in afterwards. In other words, you bring in the full force of the airstrike, and that to me is kind of prayer. You're calling in an airstrike. You're saying, I can't take care of this. I'm not going to take this on myself. I'm not going to go in there and fight that battle because I'm incapable of doing that. And therefore, Lord, I need you. And the only, you can't even do that. It has to be done by the Spirit.
By the Spirit, yeah.
In Christ.
In Christ.
You know, in you and through you, him causing it to happen. And he knows, Jesus does, that we're terrible at prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And
he
that's
gave
why
us a guide.
That's why he gives
it.
Us that's why he gives us the Lord's Prayer
yeah.
and the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, which are so power-packed. And
so this is cool. My professor this week kind of said one of the things that he does to kind of teach how to pray with the Lord's Prayer is to say the different lines in the Lord's Prayer and pause after each and maybe even fill in things that fall in there. And I've kind of started to do it. It's a great structure for prayer. Anyways, throwing that out there.
I think that's a great, that's a great point to actually think about what is being prayed.
Said. Yeah.
Not because that makes it more of an effective prayer.
No.
But because you will be more edified by the prayer, because this is actually this is the weird and cool mystery of what's happening in prayer is that the Spirit of Christ who dwells in you is causing and calling you into conversation with him.
Yeah.
And so in effect, he is praying for you to himself.
Yeah.
Causing this thing to happen.
I love it.
And Paul talks about it in that way, in a way that says, he intercedes for us and the Spirit uses groanings that we couldn't even comprehend or understand to make an appeal to the Father for what it is that we need, because we don't even know what we need. Right. So the Spirit who dwells in us can cause these things for, and that's one of the beauties of the Lord's Prayer. And I think there are Christians out there who look at the Lord's Prayer and they say, and I would hope they wouldn't probably be Lutherans, because we're so in love with the Lord's Prayer for good reason. I think there are Christians who sort of devalue the Lord's Prayer because they would say, well, that's just a rote prayer saying that prayer, you're not feeling it. You're not thinking it.
Right.
You're not. And again, when we make any of this crap about us, it's crap. When we turn the arrows to ourselves, it immediately, that's what ruins everything. It's always a mistake to start thinking about my ability to pray, my initiative to pray, my intent to pray, and what I need to pray for, and how I need to feel when I pray, and all these other things. I mean, feelings aren't bad things. You know, intentions aren't bad things.
No.
When you're wanting to be better at prayer, wanting to be more intentional about praying, these are great things. These are desires put on your heart by the Spirit. But the idea that you can pull it off without Christ causing it to happen.
Exactly.
That's the trick. That's always the trick, is that you take Christ out of the center of it, and it no longer has value.
So let me ask you this. I've heard this said multiple times, and I heard it again today, that prayer is a way to build your relationship with God, to possibly even earn favor with him. Is prayer a relational thing where it's a strengthening out of a relationship? Is it one where if we do it more, things will be better? I mean, I've heard a lot of things revolving around that.
Well, I would say this. I mean, 90% of what you just said is not true, but prayer is a relational thing.
Right.
I mean, we're in a relationship with God.
Okay.
I mean, that's, we can go too far and say,
there's no relationship.
There's no relationship.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
What we don't want to say is it's all about your personal relationship with Jesus. The whole Southern Baptist sort of.
I knew that was your Baptist voice. You use that sometimes.
I slipped into Baptist mode. I love my Baptist.
I do too.
I love picking on, and I have a Baptist background. So here's the thing. It's not going to improve your relationship with God. Your relationship with God cannot be improved because when he looks at you, he sees Christ, and you can't improve that.
Right.
It's not a way to earn his favor. It's not a way for him to give you secret information.
This is not a pipeline to new revelation.
No, this is a communion, a relationship, it is a communication with God. I mean, but it's not, you don't pray absent the word of God,
you shouldn't
pray absent, how you learn to pray in the scriptures, which is his inspired, mm-hmm. you know, word. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just saying, you know, like I pray to God and God tells me things or, yeah. or whatever it is.
So that was my third question. Yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously that's, you know, danger, Will Robinson. I mean, you know, what is he telling you? I mean, what is it that he's telling you that he has not already
revealed?
You know, again, yeah. here's the thing. When you start making this about anything but Christ, Christ is the revelation of God.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about God unless we know Christ.
Right.
And when we know Christ, we have the revelation of who God is. When we know and learn and believe in his incarnation, his birth, his life, his teaching, his suffering, his death,
his resurrection,
and his coming again, his yeah. second coming, his reign and his rule and his kingdom that is to come. This is who God is. We don't need to look anywhere else.
Yeah.
So when we pray, if we pray, we are praying in Christ, there is nothing more to look for. There's no new information for
yeah,
you. I mean,
yeah.
what is
so praying know, every day for?
You're
for,
not going to get secret information.
Yeah,
that or, nobody else gets.
Or is your destiny for the day, or assignments to do.
Well, here's your destiny for the day, Christ.
Right. Amen.
You know, this is the thing. I mean, you can pray. There's nothing wrong with praying, Lord. Can you help me in this circumstance?
Sure.
Can you help me?
You should do that.
Help me discern
yeah.
what situation, you know, what should I should do in this situation? Here's the thing. There is one way in life, and it is Christ.
Yeah.
He is the way.
He is the way.
He has the answers,
yeah,
and he is who you go to, and he
is the word.
When you screw it up,
yeah,
because you will.
Oh, every day.
he will buy it back and redeem it and cause you and call you back into prayer and his word and lead you to the absolution and to the Lord's Supper. And cause you to remember your baptism. And this is an ongoing daily
yeah.
Thing. And when you, I believe in my whole heart, and this is not me saying that this doesn't make your relationship with God any better. It doesn't improve your standing with God. But I believe that those who are dwelling in the Word of God daily,
mm-hmm.
who actually read and hear and pray, that they are given the discernment of the Holy Spirit
yeah.
because they are in a constant walk with Him,
yeah.
and it doesn't mean that those
sorts.
People
yeah.
don't have questions about life or that they may struggle with how to make hard decisions or big decisions in their life, but the hope and the peace. And the joy that you have in dwelling in God's word and Him dwelling in you causes bigger life issues, huge life issues, deaths. I've seen it. I've seen people who've had the patriarch of their family die.
Yeah.
And these are people who are dwelling in the word. I mean, like, this is a huge tragic situation.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
walked through this situation with them, and I've watched how steady the ship is in this
yeah.
storm because they have this constant presence of God's
They've
word
got Christ.
In their life. And when the storm comes, and it will,
yeah.
They have Christ, and that's who they lean on because it's who they're always leaning
yeah.
on. And I've also seen the opposite
yeah.
where people don't have that constant, that hope, that constant reassurance of word and prayer and faith in their lives, go through those circumstances and those
mm-hmm.
situations and struggle much more than those who do.
Right.
And the same goes true for big life decisions. I mean, if you're in the word daily and you're you make a habit of prayer, and you make a habit of being connected with a church community where you receive absolution and you receive the sacrament, you can imagine that you don't need any secret information from God that he's going to give you in prayer.
Secret.
And you don't need, you don't need to hear your destiny for that day or whatever it is.
Or buy the new book, whatever it is that. Yeah.
No, you have the ancient book. You have the ancient truth. You have the infinite and forever truth because you have the way, the truth, and the life. You have Christ.
And no one comes to the Father except through him.
Amen. And that's Jedi Mind Tricks for today.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
It's time for This Week in Geek. We are your resident geeks. And we got some geeky stuff to talk about. I've got some updates on Rogue One. Have you been checking the news at all, Bill?
I have been in my own world. I've been in my own audiobook world for the past
week. Yeah, you've
been
just reading.
I haven't been doing much social media. I haven't been doing much TV.
Nice.
I mean, I've kept up with right now. TV's
a little bit of a lull till some
it
things
is.
Hit
I mean,
up again.
We have Fear of the Walking Dead, and that's been mediocre at best, in my opinion.
And you don't watch Mr. Robot.
I don't.
But this season, it just ended last night.
Okay.
One of the best seasons of a television show, I think, ever.
It
was amazing.
Okay.
So,
I've watched the pilot episode.
Yeah. You got to get back
I was interested in it, and I have the USA app, so I can.
Yeah. When you're done reading and, furthering your intelligence.
I don't know if I will be. This audiobook world that I'm in right now is.
It's a deep hole.
It's so great.
Well, I've got a suggestion for you when you're ready for a next series, possibly.
All right.
So, do you ever read Stephen King? Have you ever tried him?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever read the Dark Tower series?
No.
Okay. So, start with the first one. First one's a little weird, but it's great. And then the second one, he wrote the second one like years later in the Dark Tower series. And that one really just kicks it into high gear. There is a movie coming out. The Dark Tower movie is going to be coming out in February. I'm extremely excited about that one.
So not a television movie.
Here's what the producers are doing. They've got, I think it's going to be a trilogy, possibly of movies, but there's also going to be a television series made by the same production company. It's the same production company
channel?
That does House of Cards. They don't have a channel yet. They're making it, and then they're going to sell it to a channel. It most likely would be Netflix or HBO.
Yeah.
It's going to have to live on cable or online.
Well, if it's on Netflix or HBO, it has those are, in my opinion, two of the top outlets for good TV right now.
Oh, yeah, totally. So the movie's going to come out in February, and it's got Idris Elba as the main character, and he's going to be awesome as it. And then the TV series will come out about a year and a half later or a year later when the DVD of the movie comes out at the same time, probably.
Okay.
So premise of the series, man, I don't want to give away too much. Post-apocalyptic kind of world, but not really. And it ties into our world and interdimensional stuff going on. And the really cool thing is,
I'm into interdimensional.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to like it. The cool thing is it somehow ties together. I'm not going to tell you how. It ties together basically all of Stephen King's novels. And you think of these novels by Stephen King as disparate novels that are part of, different worlds.
Short stories, too?
Short stories, everything. He's genius. It's almost like he had this planned all along, and I think he did. And if not, he did a great way of tying them all together. So, It, The Stand, what else?
Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption.
Stand By Me, totally. All of it ties together to the Dark Tower series. The Dark Tower world is the world and multiverse that those other things live in.
So it's like Dark Tower is Stephen King's brain.
Yes.
And all of these stories that came out of his brain are interconnected because
his brain. Man, you're going to love it then. If you can comprehend that, you're that should be your next series. There's seven of them. Maybe even just read the first three or so. It's going to be cool to watch the movies because they've got some great people attached to it. It's going to be high quality stuff.
So beneficial to consume the books.
I think so.
Is it three books then?
Seven books.
So
they're going to do the
first. Only seven?
Only seven.
Okay.
The first movie, I think, is going to be based on the first and second, maybe third book.
Okay.
The show will be based on the fourth book, which is kind of a prequel
okay.
in actuality. And then there's planned other movies to kind of wrap up the series.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool to be a multimedia kind of thing.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd say, too, is the graphic novels are really cool also. So there's a graphic novel for each one of them that
right.
is fun to read after reading the book.
And
listening to the book. So the audiobook, Stephen King had a hand in picking the narrators. And it's amazing. It was produced by him. So the audiobook is just high production value. It's just a real fun one to listen to. So
I'll be into it.
Yeah,
then.
Dude. Get into it.
Well, if I can ever get out of Cormac McCarthy's Dark Tower world of his brain,
right?
Then maybe I can get into Stephen King's.
It's fun. I like what you're doing with the binging with one author. It's fun to just kind of live in an author's world for a while and see all the different...
You see the threads.
Yeah.
You see threads that they weave through. You see some of the same... winks
right.
and dialogues.
That's
and
what was fun with me at Dark Tower.
And you kind of you become familiar with. I see what he's going to do here. He's got this character in a dialogue with this strange guy, and this strange guy is going to take us on a journey for a while. And I like you get excited about that because you're like this guy's going to talk crazy for 50 pages, and by the end of it, we're going to go back to the story. So. I've obviously am fascinated and in love with Cormac McCarthy as a writer, but all of that was a tangent about the Rogue One.
One. Let's talk about that for a second. Okay, Rogue One developments. September 30th, all the new toys come out, so I'll be at Target, and Toys R Us getting those. I got to get that Dark Trooper helmet.
That
they got
that
commercials
cool.
for. I want that. And then, so remember when we were talking about Suicide Squad, and we were kind of looking forward to it at first, but then all the rewrites and the yada yada yada.
You saw it, didn't you?
I did end up seeing it,
yeah.
and it fell apart. It had some cool parts, but it completely fell apart. It was kind of fun, I'll say, but you'd have to turn your brain off to really enjoy it. So here's my worry, but I'm also not totally worried. Rogue One, I think I'd mentioned before, is going through reshoots. And they also hired a new musical score composer to redo the music. So I'm not sure where this goes. Now the executives who have seen the film are saying, no, this is great. We're just adding some stuff. We're focusing, and this is an experiment anyways. They're like,
did they do test groups or something?
I don't know if they did test groups yet. Yeah. So, but I think we'll be okay. What's cool though is they've got tempered expectations. They're saying we don't expect this to be a Force Awakens. We're experimenting and trying something new and seeing what will happen.
They're already downplaying. Oh no,
that could be bad. But the trailers look great.
Well, here's the thing:
don't put it out
unless it's stellar.
Right,
because
I'm hoping that's what's going on.
I will not allow in my Star Wars universe brain.
Right.
A bad Star Wars movie that has Darth Vader in it.
Right, that can't.
If it's going to suck, I don't want it to even be released. Like,
right.
That's
there will come a day where there will be a Star Wars movie that sucks, but it better not be one with Darth Vader. I agree. Or Chewbacca for that matter.
Well, if they do come out with this movie and it ends up sucking and Vader's in it, then what they have to do is they have to go back and do that, expanded universe movie where Vader and the Emperor go on a mission together.
Oh, that would be
You know
cool.
which one I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, was that the Shadows of the Empire? No,
I think
Shadows of the Empire,
one
maybe?
Of those
something
is,
like
one
that.
Of them is, one of the books is...
Yeah.
It's like the only one where Darth Vader
yeah,
and
they
the
go
Emperor,
off and...
yeah, Palpatine, go on actually, the two of them go on a mission.
Yeah.
So if they screw up Rogue One...
They can do that.
They've got to do that. Yeah, yeah. That's an order, Disney.
Because Vader will need redemption. Wait, okay. Here we have... Oh, anyways.
Well, Force Awakens was... It was so good.
I loved it. I loved
that
it.
That it's going to be tough for them to...
Yeah. So, episode 8 update, it looks like they wrapped principal photography,
okay.
I think.
All right.
And they're doing some the secondary shooting now.
Okay.
So, it's...
All right.
It's going to happen.
Okay. Cool. I'm assuming we're going to get a lot more Luke Skywalker in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's what it sounds like.
Some mysteries unlocked.
Oh, yeah.
And that's 2 years away, so we've got to...
I'm still working on my time machine.
So. I bet you are. That's sad. Is there actually probably is some... There's something going on. You don't have a basement because you live in Texas, the attic has got some sort of...
Don't tell my wife.
...radio parts.
It's made out of Legos. It's never going to work.
Legos and Egos because you're Stranger Things.
Man. Yeah, good.
Well, anyway, so is that... So are we done? Is that
I don't have anything else nerdy going on.
Okay, well, yeah. you're a one... large package of nerds, so
hey, I'm trying to
say that
weight.
You have nothing else nerdy going on is completely untrue.
Yeah,
but
totally.
You don't have anything else to talk about
now. I gotta save.
Well, hey man, we love you guys. We thank you for tuning into the podcast. Hope you're blessed by it, and we will see you next week on the God Geeks Podcast.
Bye.
That was, of course, God Geeks.